Mind tends to change the words, and I don't want to do that. I want to just give you the scriptures straight up. So I'm going to read from Psalm 100. I thought it was a good introduction. So we can start with by shouting for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So let's open in prayer. And indeed, know that the Lord is God, and that it is he who made us, and we are his. Dear Heavenly Father, honored Almighty God, we do acknowledge you as being sovereign over all of this, your creation. That surely as the sun appears to rise to us every morning, it is a renewing of that life cycle that's mirrored day in and day out throughout our lives. Thank you for the beauty of creation. Indeed, as the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You are an amazing creator in that the beauty you have created and that you have blessed us with. Lord, for this time together, we just ask that the Holy Spirit come among us, seal us in here as we just intend with deep, heartfelt emotion to be able to worship you through our praise, through our offerings, and through everything that is done and said here this morning. May it truly be a blessing not only to those who come to hear it, but a blessing to you, Heavenly Father, to be able to share in our joy of being able to reveal your works in our lives and in the lives of those around us here in this community, as well as the nations beyond, as we will hear later. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we love you dearly. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. It's in Christ's name we pray it all. Amen.
Good morning. If you would please rise and join us in worship as we invite God just to enter into this space.
So been so kind, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait, for you, God. We
Father God, we praise your name this morning, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we ask you just to come into this place, God. We are so desperate for you. We are so desperate for your presence, God. Lord, we wait here with eager anticipation just to meet you in this place, God, just to know you more. And Lord, we pray that as we would know you more, God, that you would shape us and mold us to become more like you. God, and that you would feed this hunger that is within us, Lord, that in one way you would satisfy this hunger, God, that we would come to know you more, but at the same time that this hunger would just grow for you, God. Jesus, we praise you, Lord, and we seek you today, so desperate for you, God. So Jesus, come. Amen.
At the cross, at the virtue or evil, a victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? Power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost with its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
Would please come forward. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we have power only in you, God. There is nothing that we can do on our own, Lord, but only through the power of you, Jesus, of your Holy Spirit, God. Everything that we have in this world, Lord, it's all from you. So we want to take all of the blessings that you've given us today, God, and we just want to hand them all back to you, Lord. And we pray that as we hand this offering forward, God, that you would just take it and multiply it, God. Use it to further your kingdom here on this earth. Lord, use it to perform miracles. God, we trust that you can do so, and we thank you in advance for the great things that you're going to do with this offering. Lord, we pray that we would just hand forward today whatever it is that you lay on our hearts. But not only this money offering, God, but as we enter into this following week and just the rest of our lives, God, that whatever you call us to give, whether that's of ourselves, of service, or wherever you want us to go, God, that we just would listen to you, Lord, and be guided by your Spirit, and that we would be obedient to you, Lord, and that you then would just continue to perform miracles. And we thank you, God, that you allow us to be a part of that, God. You allow us to experience you. God, we thank you for the blessing. We are not worthy of you, Lord, but you love us anyways. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
1, 2, 3, 4. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Well, thank you, worship team. Oh. First of all, I just cleared it that we are having children's church this morning. So at this time, any of the kids, follow Mrs. Stapleton. And, yep, right there. Go for it. That-a-way. Yep. I mean, we don't want to kick you out. We're going to have a fun time up here, but you guys can have a fun time down there. Well, we've got a lot of speakers this morning. We're going to hear first from the Dominican team. We had a group leave here, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and go down and spend some time in the Dominican Republic. And so we wanted to give them the opportunity to speak to all of us and hear about what God did through that time in the Dominican. So I don't know in any particular order, but we've got Marilyn, Jake, and Leah. So have you decided who's doing what? Oh, here's the volunteer. All right, Jake, go for it.
Thank you. All right, so I'm Jake, and I took a trip down to the Dominican Republic just last week. So out of the six times I've been down there, this has definitely been the one that stuck out to me. So first off, just planning the trip, someone else was supposed to be planning a trip, one of my friends, and so we got together a big list of people that said they wanted to go, and we had about 20 people, and so she told me that she's backing out, and so I'm going to lead the trip, and so I'm like, all right, that's sure, you know. Jeff Lothar, some of you know him, he was supposed to come with us, so I kind of had him to fall back on, and then a couple weeks before the trip, he told me that he wasn't going anymore, so I was like, all right, so I'm just going to lead it. So I typed out an email, emailed it to the group that we had, about 20 people, and I had one person respond saying that she can't go, and so this whole list of people just didn't respond to me. I was just kind of just wondering, like, is anyone actually going to come with me? Should I actually go on this trip? But then slowly our group is forming. We get Leah, my mom, my neighbors, which have been my longtime friends, Hunter and Austin. Some of you have seen them around here before. And then there's this one kid that I met last year in the Dominican. He's from Waynesburg. And so I texted him. I was like, hey, do you want to go to the Dominican Republic this year? And he said, I'm sorry, I can't go. I'm going to Honduras this year. And I was like, all right. And maybe a month before the trip, he texted me. He said, hey, trip's canceled. Can I come with you guys? And I said, yeah, like, definitely come with us. So our group was just the six of us, and there were a bunch of other groups that met up with us in the Dominican. And so I guess my expectations were we're just kind of this huge group, this great group of just kids, adults, you know, we're just gonna have a great time. But then when we get down there, it was a little challenging, not gonna lie with you. There was a lot of people that had a younger faith, so there was a lot of maturing that was necessary. And as we were focusing on the Dominicans and the Haitians down there, a lot of focus was on the people in our team as well. Because to be an effective group, you have to work on your group first before you actually minister to others. And I can't speak for the people with the younger faith and how they have been moved by the Holy Spirit, but I definitely was able to see God working in their lives. And for the people in our group, there was a couple with younger faith. And for me, I was just able to just see God working through them. And I've been with them before this trip, and I will be with them after this trip. And just to see how they're maturing in their faith and how they're seeing God working in their lives, it was just really encouraging. And there was no big, I guess, God moment. Like, people were looking for those big miracles. But there was definitely a little bit of God just working, a little bit here, a little bit there. But even those are crucial to the walk with Christ. And I really don't know what to expect coming after this trip. I'm definitely going to have to keep in touch with the people that I've led. And I'm sure one of us will describe more of what we did and during the trip, but we did prayer walk, which is just evangelism. We just walked into the villages, just talking to people about Jesus. We did VBS, which we just go and just yell, hey, VBS, right here. And so all the little kids just keep, they'll just run in a little group, and then we just have a good time with them. We did a baseball ministry. I think I was the only one in the group that went. So we played baseball with these Dominicans, and there was actually a scout with us. And so we had played actually softball with them because it was safer for us, because we I'm not good at baseball. And at the end, one of our guys was able to just speak to this group of baseball players, and he talked about Eric Liddell. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with him. He is a he was a track star, and he would refuse to run on Sunday, on any Sunday, and so there was a Olympic medal at stake, and he was like, nope, not running. But then someone else saw that dedication, and he was like, yo, I want you to run for me on this different day. And he's like, I can't do that. But then he ends up running a completely different race and then beats a world record. And so he was able to encourage the Dominicans how even serving the Lord, you can still play baseball. You can still love the sport, but keep God as your number one. And the trip was great, and I would love to talk to you guys some more about it, but I would like to have Leah, my mom, talk a little more about it. Thank you.
I don't know if I can sit. So I'm not going to sit. Everything Jake said, we didn't discuss what we were going to say, but what Jake said was happening. And I too, this was my second year, and the group wasn't coming together as one. And Leah and I didn't know what they were thinking, but Leah and I came together and we prayed. And then it seemed as though there was some sort of breakthrough after we prayed, because the next day we started to kind of make more connections with each other in the group. But this was my second trip, and the first trip, God gave me some physical pictures of spiritual things. And the second trip, this time when we went down, those pictures were still stuck in my head. They kept running through my mind. One was, the Dominican is such a beautiful Garden of Eden. I would say, is this what the Garden of Eden was like before sin? But in that Garden of Eden, there's so much trash and garbage all over the place. So that you look to the right of a bridge and you see this little stream that you could jump in and swim. You go and you look to the left, and the garbage is probably from here to the back of the room. I mean, right next to it, you know. And I thought of, you know, the garden, and sin came in and polluted the beauty that God had created. The other thing that physical picture that spoke spiritually to me was, as you drive through the Dominican, everywhere you see half-built structures. And when I say, like, I know they're houses just because I've been there, but the houses may be from there to here, so it's not a big area. And you might see, like, a row of block, maybe one row of block, maybe you see one and a half, three, whatever, just kind of like a little kid building something with his blocks. And then sometimes you would see a foundation, and you'd see a little bit more built on the foundation, and then you would see maybe even a beautiful, tiny, but beautiful little house. And I kept looking, and as I was driving, the song, and I believe we sang it, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That song kept running through my head. You know how, like, you're trying to sleep and a song keeps going in your head and going in your head? It just kept going in my head. And also the verse Luke 14:28, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Those two things kept just running through my head. And we were on a trip one day, and I asked one of our translators, so why do I see half-built places all over the place? And he said, well, it's like this. Someone may give a person a little tiny plot of land, or maybe they were able to buy a plot of land, And as time goes on, maybe they could put a foundation, and so they do, then they walk away from it. Maybe they have only blocks, and they put some blocks in. So that's why we're seeing these half-built structures. And he said, you know, it's just like the Dominicans here. And I thought, you know, it's just like the Americans there, you know. So what I came out with, I believe that God was laying my heart, is that we all have a choice, whether we're here or in the Dominican or any other place, and no matter how rich, how poor, what you look like, we all have a choice to make. And that's, what are we gonna build our lives on? And so as I looked at these structures, I would see a place that had just block in a square, and there was no foundation, and there were weeds all growing up in it, just weeds. And then I would see places that maybe it was just a foundation laying there, and there was nothing else, just a foundation. And then I would see places where there was a foundation and a few blocks here and there, and, you know, and then eventually you would see a house built. And I thought, how true that is, you know, like those people who don't take Christ and build on him as their firm foundation, everything that they build, it's just a bunch of weeds grow up in the middle of their house, you know, you just burn up, whatever. And then there are the people, like Jake was saying, we were with a bunch of very young Christians, you know, like young kids, and maybe some weren't, maybe some were the ones that didn't even have a foundation. And then there were others that had laid that foundation, and that was it. And then they're off in the world, you know, but they have this foundation. And then there were some people that maybe they started to build their life upon Christ, but then they got distracted and they went off somewhere else and left what they had. And then others who take that seriously and continue to build block after block after block, counting the cost. It's going to cost a lot. Sometimes, you know, it's a high price. Christ paid for us. But discipleship's a height. There's a cost in discipleship. Are you going to, you know, keep plugging through till you build that house, that spiritual house? And that's what God laid on my heart. And so the trip was a wonderful time, and I'll go back next year and welcome everybody to come, whoever wants to. So we have a bigger group than five. But I also want to thank you. Thank our church, Lord God. You know, we had that little breakfast, and we were so blessed, and we were so blessed by the giving of our church family. So thank you.
Good morning. It's very good to be back with you all. I do want to thank you again for all of your support and encouragement with this trip. So this past week, that was my fourth mission trip to the Dominican Republic. And each one so far has been incredibly unique in the way that it drew me closer to the Lord, each in a different way. But after going back so many times, I kind of got it in my head going into this one that, yeah, I've got this down. I know what to expect. But that couldn't be further from the truth. There's always more of God to see and more of God to know. While we may learn, and we should learn, to expect miracles from him, we never cease to learn more about him through these miracles. So the past few trips, like the first few that I went on, God worked a lot through what I like to call loud miracles, which are things like Jesus feeding the 5,000, miracles that scream, "Look at me," so that believers and non-believers alike will see them. But this trip was a little different in that God worked more through whisper miracles, which are things that you would miss out on if you weren't really listening to God's voice and you weren't really seeking to see God at work around you. So I definitely expected going into this trip that God would work more through these loud miracles, since that's what he had done in the past. So the first few days went by, and I wasn't really seeing those. And I started getting really frustrated. But this pushed me to spend more time in my morning devotions desperately seeking God, and then going out into the villages and just desperately seeking to see him at work there. So because I was focusing a lot more on him, as we went out into these villages, I started to pick up on these whisper miracles around me. So one of the main ones that I picked up on while we were there is the first time a few years ago when I went on prayer walks in the Dominican. There were very few Christians that we came across. It was very rare to find true believers in these villages. You would come across people who either said they weren't Christians but did have Jesus in their heart, but they didn't believe that they were Christians because the church was telling them that you have to meet all these requirements to be accepted by Christ. So if you don't go to church, you're not a Christian. If you come to church wearing nail polish, you're not a Christian and you need to leave. All of these lies that were being fed to them. And then other people who didn't want to accept Christ because they knew that they could never meet these standards. So this time when I went, it was completely different. Now, it's different village to village, but the first day that I went out on a prayer walk, everyone that I met was a true believer. And so we would ask them questions to really understand what their idea of Christianity was. But these people would explain. So one woman said that she started off at a church that was preaching that she has to do all these good works in order to be a Christian. But since then, she has moved to another church that preaches the truth. And now she knows the true gospel, and she has a true relationship with Jesus. And then the next house we went to, she said that the church she's at now used to preach on fulfilling all these requirements. But now the pastor knows the truth of the gospel and is preaching on the true gospel instead. So as we went around, there were a lot more people who knew the truth and who were then spreading the truth. So we were actually doing more of kind of watering the seeds, encouraging people in their faith and encouraging them to go out and share the gospel with those in their villages and to strengthen their church and do all these different things. So we still did come across, you know, people who needed to hear the gospel and needed to understand the truth. It's still a work in progress. But to be able to see how God is working through all of these years, you don't really get to see just by going once. And, you know, sometimes Satan can kind of feed us these lies when we go, where God is calling us to go. Satan will try to tell us that, well, you're not really doing anything, you know, because we can't always see what's happening long term. And sometimes we will never see. So it was truly a blessing to be able to see that during this trip. But I just want to encourage you all to never give in to those lies that the devil is feeding you. Whenever you feel that God is calling you to go somewhere, even if it may seem tiny, like it's not going to make a difference, you don't always get to see how God is going to use that and multiply it and grow. You may just be watering the seed. You may just be planting the seed for God. We don't really know, but God is not limited by how much time we may have or, you know, how much strength we may have. Nothing limits God. So just go where he calls you to go, and don't give in to those lies. Thank you.